If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Shirley Gutkowski at Crosslink Radio, and we are here today talking about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral health care provider, which is what I am. I am a dental hygienist. I'm in the prevention mode all the time. And on my Crosslink Radio show, I'm helping you keep your health at its optimum by bringing a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And today I have Lori Lauder, a dental hygienist, friend of mine from the AOL days. We used to IM each other. We had something in common. I had five children and she had more than five. So so we used to type back and forth in our little instant messaging on America Online. So we've been friends, I don't know, for over 10 years anyway. I think I noticed that I was on America Online since 1998 or something. So I don't know that I've known her that long. But anyway, we have been going back and forth online again about the plight of the dental hygienist and how we have such a weird kind of a reputation and nobody really understands what dental hygienists have to go through and a lot of the political shenanigans that's been happening now. So I thought we would like to talk about that. So I'm going to open the microphone now for Lori Lauder. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Shirley. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to get you up so early over on the West Coast. And I think
not
even though I do time zones all the time, and so do you, it's still crazy how it gets screwed up. But I'm glad you're here. So fill us in a little bit on what we're doing with the Dental Hygienist Alliance.
I will. First of all, I want you to know we met in 2000, just to give you that little tidbit of information
okay,
you lacked this morning. I remember for a reason, but I'll tell you that later. The Dental Hygienist Alliance came about in response to a lot of chatter I was hearing online about the dental hygienist and the plight of our profession as some see it, the fact that many, many people feel like as a dental hygienist they don't have a voice in their profession and what goes on in their careers. They feel they're at the mercy of other people or organizations. And I've heard this so many times, and it was just getting, you know, the chatter was getting louder and louder, and I thought, well, hey, we don't really have to organize. This is 2015. We can set up a place
right.
where any hygienist can come and have a voice and say those things that are important to them and see what we can do with it, see what topics come up most often and see, you know, what kind of role we can have in our own profession without my vision was no hierarchy type of thing. There's no president. There's no elected
mm-hmm.
anybody. It's just a group of hygienists who want to get together and make some change in our profession. So that is
awesome.
How the Dental Hygienist Alliance was accomplished, yes.
Well, and it had more of a political kind of a bent to it as opposed to just a group of hygienists wondering how to get their patients to brush or what do they do when the doctor says this and stuff like that? Just your general belly aching or
definitely. Yeah, it was from the very beginning and not all by, you know, we didn't set it up this way, but from the very beginning, this group has been about what politically we can do to save our profession. It's not your everyday patient issues. It's our profession issues, not how to do a prophy, but why are we doing a prophy?
So really, you know, most people that are listening to this, even dental hygienists are going to listen to this, think that you just were like way over the top. We have to save our profession, really? And dentists, I think, listening to this are really going to be like scrunching up their face. What's happening? What happened that our profession now all of a sudden is in danger? Is that hyperbole or is that real or are we just rabble-rousing? What's happening there? What changed?
You know, it's real, and what the problem is nothing has changed. Hygienists are educated. We're college-educated people. We go to school
yes.
for at least four years to receive an associate's, in some cases, certificate. Those of us who were lucky got the bachelor's in the beginning. But if we are educated professionals who are educated in prevention. We don't compete with dentists. I want to get that out of the way right away. Hygienists are not competing with dentists. They're about fixing. We're about preventing. But we're so restricted because nothing has changed. And I believe, from what I've read in the beginning, Dr. Fohn's whole idea was that the hygienist would be out in the public, treating the public, helping the public, that type of thing. And we've never got there. Nothing's changed. We still sit in operatories and see patients of the dentist schedule that come in for their preventive care. So the reason the profession is in trouble is because nothing has changed and the world has changed and people are focused on access and money, you know, which is unfortunately what everything comes down to. Then other things have changed, like the attempts to create lower paid physicians who provide some of the services of a hygienist but for much less money. And unfortunately, at the detriment of the public. And the public doesn't really understand what goes into being a hygienist, what hygienists are educated to, not trained. I hate that word. We are not trained. We are educated. And so that is honestly what's changed is nothing, and that is why we are in trouble. And if nothing continues to change, soon the role of the hygienist will be very minimal at most. All of our duties will be done by someone else. This is what I see coming.
Change.
This is what other people see coming. Yeah.
Well,
It'll be what
Trish O'Hare calls a mini dentist. This whole idea that we have to go to school even longer to do fillings on teeth that we are trained and educated and, you know, browbeaten into preventing in the first place. So,
exactly.
This whole idea of these what do they call them now? Therapists,
the
dental hygiene therapists,
or mid-level therapists,
providers.
Right.
In an effort to have more access, well, the problem isn't that patients don't have access, okay? It's not that there's not enough dental offices to go to. It's that they can't get to a dental office and hygienists can't get to them. We can't go out. We can only sit chairside in a clinical dental practice, except for a few states where we can have our own private practice. And do you know how that's going, Lori, in the states, two states, Maine and Colorado, where dental hygienists are allowed to practice independently?
You know, and I apologize that I have not kept up on that too well. I know in Colorado I know individuals who have tried it and has not worked. And in California, we do have the AP, the RDHAP, who can go out into nursing homes and people who cannot leave their homes, that type of thing, and provide care. But even there's such restrictions, and we're working in California to get rid of those restrictions, and it's the restrictions that are put upon the person trying to go out and prevent disease. We're trying to prevent people from having disease, and we're restricted from doing that. And that's why I say we're not competing with the dentist. I mean, yes, there's these other things out there, these other models about doing fillings, and to me that's not our role. I mean, I learned to do fillings in school. We did a restorative day.
Yes.
But that's not our role. Our role is to prevent a person from having disease. And that's what we should not be restrained from doing.
Well, let me tell you, in Colorado, there's less than 2% of the dental hygienists open their own practice. And they've been able to be practicing at least since 1986, the year I graduated.
In
Maine, that's a brand new system. And dentists, not to bash dentists, but this is a fact, as an organized group, they have made it nearly impossible for them to practice at all by interfering at this kind of level where when I was speaking there a couple of years ago, the legislative agenda was to stop the dentists from not allowing dental hygienists in independent practice to take x-rays unless they were practicing or their practice was located in an area where there were no dentists. So if you were working in a city and there were dentists around you, you could not take x-rays. But if you were out, you could take x-rays. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God. And the Federal Trade Commission weighed in on that as well and slapped all the dentists around. And they keep losing. They keep losing with the Federal Trade Commission all of these kinds of things. So we have a leg to stand on. Our whole education is drawn up by the American Dental Association, so they know exactly what we can do.
exactly, Exactly. So, and as I say, I'm not bashing on dentists either, but organized dentistry as a whole is definitely restraining the practice of dental hygiene, which is against federal trade commission rules. There is, you know, there's the Sherman Antitrust Act comes up a lot, which states that one profession cannot restrain another and prevent them from doing their trade. And as you know, and we've talked about recently, North Carolina's dental board recently was told by the Supreme Court that they are not exempt from federal lawsuits around that, that because they are dentists who are practicing, who are restraining the trade of other people, they have to either have oversight or be open to these types of lawsuits, which does give us a leg. But unfortunately, it's a leg that too many people aren't willing to stand on. They don't see it as a good leg. I don't know. And I know recently as we've brought this up and tried to talk about what this Supreme Court ruling means and what this can be for the dental hygiene profession, it's exciting. At the same time, too many people are, you know, well, I don't really know exactly what that means. We don't know what it means until you challenge it. I mean, we got to take it and challenge it and let these organized dentistry situations know that they can't restrain our trade any longer. And to me, I mean, that's where the change has to go. And the Dental Hygiene Alliance recognizes that in this kind of area we're trying to go.
When you say it that way, it makes me wonder about this idea of calling dental hygienists or the dental hygiene a profession and some of the limitations that we have based on the definition of what a profession is, most notably our own oversight. So, California, I think, is still the only state that has a dental hygienist board that oversees the goings-on of dental hygienists. And I know that you have sent many, many dental hygienists to jail because of all the horrible things that dental hygienists do as a rule, yada, yada. So, la, la, la. So do you think that that might be part of the problem, that enough states aren't fighting at least to have our own oversight over our own profession?
Oh, I think that's what I'm talking about. No change. That's a huge part of the problem. We're not changing to take upon ourselves not only our own responsibility. It's our responsibility to lead our profession, and too many don't understand that or fight to do that. And with that comes, you know, the liability of it as well. And yes, California has our own dental hygiene committee or board that does oversee the practice of dental hygiene in California. To my knowledge, I don't know of any hygienists who've gone to jail. Know there was a lot of concern and hype and fear put out there that this was going to make dental hygiene services so expensive, and it was going to make our license so expensive, and none of that has happened. Our license is a little more expensive, but hey, we're paying to be self-regulated. It's not tripled, as they said, but we're self-regulated, and why more hygienists don't want that, I don't understand. But that's one of the first things that have to change is we have to, and unfortunately it has to be state by state because of where we live, we have to start regulating our own profession. It's not the dentist's responsibility or role to regulate the practice of dental hygiene.
That's
an odd concept,
I
know.
Well, I'm assuming that it stems from their hold over our education, and they're making the requirements for what we learn and how we learn it and how many hours we have to learn it. I was fortunate to graduate after they stopped making dental hygienists carve teeth out of soap. So I didn't have to do that, but I had to draw the teeth, and that was a challenge.
I had to do them out of
right
wax.
Portions and dimensions. You did wax?
I had to carve them out of wax,
So, you know, yes, it was probably important and all this other kind of stuff, but it's all about the dentist. And I guess I could see if I was creating a job for someone and I was helping them learn what they needed to know to help me out, but we're not doing that at all, it turns out. And the more that we find out about this oral systemic link, we're finding that it's not really dentistry that's included in this. It's dental hygiene. All of the studies that are looking at periodontal disease infections, for instance, or enamel infections, is about biofilm manipulation, and that's totally our department. And we're motivated by clean teeth, and we want our patients to have clean teeth. So there, we have to be set free a little bit. We have to regulate ourselves. I think you're right. That's the first thing. And we have to understand that self-regulation is not the same as independent practice. And I
exactly.
think that's where the big disconnect is. So can you kind of describe the difference between the two?
And I can even go one step further because independent practice is also not mid-level provider. But so self-regulation
right.
is not saying every hygienist has their own practice, and that's not how it works in California either. Self-regulation is saying that we are responsible for the role of the professionals in our state. So the Dental Hygiene Committee of California is responsible for licensing dental hygienists. It still goes through Consumer Affairs, but the Dental Hygiene Committee is responsible for issuing those licenses for doing they hold meetings. I apologize, I haven't been to one lately. You can listen to them actually. But they regulate and oversee what is going on in the profession of dental hygiene, not dentistry, in the state of California. And regulations and things are set up by that. And that is self-regulation. It's working. They work within the guidelines that are already there. I don't get to do anything more today than I did before we had our own committee. But they work within the
yes.
guidelines that were there, and we enforce those. They enforce those guidelines, and they strive for what needs to be done for the profession of dental hygiene. But more than that, it's about the good for the public, and any dental board should be, and every dental hygiene board in the future better be, about serving the public. It's about the health of the public, serving the public, treating the public. It's not about just advancing ourselves or fighting the other guy.
Right.
It's about
yeah.
it's about keeping the public healthy, and that's what every board of any kind, medical, dental, healthcare, otherwise,
mm-hmm.
chiropractic, I don't care.
That's
what your role is to protect the public, to help the public. Independent practice is something I also think we need, but it's not the same thing. It is the ability of a hygienist to practice within the scope of their practice, not to go out and start filling teeth and pulling teeth, but to practice
right.
within our scope, to provide preventive care to the public, again, and to serve
mm-hmm.
people in the public in a preventive way. So and to help prevent disease, you know, in a layman's term, help prevent cavities, help prevent periodontal disease, but help prevent diseases that come, that originate in the oral cavity. And
right.
mid-level
and
provider.
Then
or what,
act, go right. ahead.
No, I was going to say,
no,
and the other step that people look at, the other step people look at is this mid-level provider or dental therapist, which I'm not saying is also, I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing, but it's not the same, and it's not within our scope at the moment. And so it's not where we should be with self-regulation or independent practice. Self-regulation is regulating what we have, what our profession is, and this mid-level provider or dental therapist is something different, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And the entire issue here is that nobody knows. Nobody knows what we do. They think that
exactly.
we have a technical school education for 2 years. That, to me, is the biggest lie of all, that when you look into schools, right, and you're 19 years old and you're thinking to yourself, huh, this hygienists make a lot of money and you only go to school for 2 years. Well, you have to go to school for 2 years in order to manage an associate's degree, but you have to spend 2 years, you know, how convenient is that, on a waiting list before you're even allowed in. And during that time, if you're not taking classes, they still won't let you in because you have what are required, you know, prerequisites required. So really, when you graduate, you're ending up with almost enough credits. You might be 10 credits short, which is a class and a half of credits to have a baccalaureate degree. But with just having that associate's degree, you have more limitations than you could ever imagine. So having this fake two-year degree is really part of the reason that we are so stagnant.
Right, and I don't think that's on accident. I'm sorry, some people do. They blame it on the community
no,
college system.
It's not.
I do not believe it's on accident
nope.
that associate and certificates now that have to equal associate's degrees, but still certificates. So California does have a pilot program starting where some community colleges are going to be able to offer bachelor's degrees. And one of the programs is dental hygiene, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes because it is a shame to graduate with that many credits and that many years
yes.
and get an mm-hmm. associate's degree. On the other side of that, in some ways, our profession is to blame for this as well because dental hygienists do teach in dental hygiene programs. About 5 years ago, could have been 6 years ago, there was a flyer going around that said, about making college choices, and it said, would you like to make $80,000 a year with an 18-month commitment in education? Now, one, I would like to make $8,000 a year doing hygiene, sure, and it's not going to happen. And two,
right.
not in private practice. And two, this 18-month program is after you have your 2 years of prereqs, and there is no break, so it's another 2 years. It's 18 months straight. You don't get Christmas, summer,
yep.
semester break. It's a straight 18 months. So we're leading people to believe on our own that this is a short-term trade school certificate so that we can go out and make your teeth shiny. And I believe that also. And I don't believe it's by accident that associate's degrees are offered for so many credits. I think it's a way of for lack of a better word, it's a way of keeping us where we need to be.
Yes, and it attracts a certain kind of person. Now, you mentioned Dr. Phones, who is the inventor of a dental hygienist. And when he did that, it was 100 years ago last year, right? Or was it 2 years
right,
ago?
Right, right.
So one of the things that I read in all the little documents that started showing up about the 100-year anniversary is that he was placating the other dentists who were nervous about these people taking over dentistry that, oh, don't worry, they're girls. They're women, and women just don't do that kind of thing.
Right.
So
right.
we're still acting on that. I just can't even get over it. That was 100
we're
years
ago. We're still
there.
It's still looked upon as a part-time career for people before they have children. Now, I'm sorry, I'm in my 50s, unfortunately, and my childbearing years are over, and I'm still
right.
doing this. So it's not a part-time short career for women before they have children.
No.
But that is what it was. You know, it was the young girl until you find yourself a man, and then you get married,
yes.
then you don't have to work anymore. So, we still fight that. That's right. It's wrong. We need to get
one
over that.
One of the benefits of the four-year program was that the dental hygienists often were in classes with the dentists,
exactly.
the dental students, and really most of them were after what we laughingly called at that time an MRS degree, and they were just looking to, like you said, clean some teeth until their dentist husband was, you know, got them pregnant,
right.
and then that was it.
Right.
But we're still actively engaged in our profession, well, you know, in our jobs, and we're trying to really help others understand what a dental hygienist is, which is what I think is really missing. There are stories almost every day in the newspaper about opportunities for dental hygienists to really grab onto. Scientific research that shows that the mouth is attached to the body and that it contributes to pancreatic cancer and all this stuff, but there's no official word from anybody in official land for dental hygienists to start tying these things to us so that the public will understand who it is that they're seeing.
Right.
And I think that's
right.
a big, big, big mistake.
And I think we're to blame, unfortunately. Too many people don't. And that's part of what the Dental Hygienist Alliance is also trying to do. As you know, we put out press releases for the public, not for other hygienists,
yes.
about what a hygienist
right.
does, the role in saving lives, the role in preventing infection and those types of things, and the role in just healthcare, basically. I'm about to retire from clinical practice, Yahoo, after many, many years.
Yay.
And all of my patients... I almost guarantee you, if you run into them in the store somewhere and you ask them, hey, what does your dental hygienist do? May mention that I clean their teeth, but they're going to talk to you about infections and how a healthy mouth affects the inflammatory response, which is what I like to speak on. And they know, but then you talk to so many people who think their hygienist is that technician in the office that helps the dentist and polishes their teeth. And why do people still
bleed.
Think, if they're actually seeing a hygienist, why do they not know what a hygienist does? Why do they not know
exactly.
what a hygienist is if they're actually seeing a dental hygienist? We need
that's
to step up and take responsibility.
That's why I created the term chat and polish hygienist, the one who just
yeah.
asks patients about their vacations and then tells patients about their vacations, and then nothing ever happens during the appointment that's of any conversation with that patient about their entire health. And not only is it periodontal disease and cavities, we're also talking now more about airway issues, and we really are directly saving our patients' lives. We're the ones who notice that their throat is closed off. There's no room for air to go through. We're the ones who notice that their tongue is tied. We're the ones who are noticing different changes because we're there for 45 minutes. No other healthcare professional is really there for that long. So I'm so stoked about this Dental Hygienist Alliance. What's the best way to find Dental Hygienist Alliance?
You need to be on Facebook because we are not an organization or an association. I need to get out there that out there to be sure. We are a Facebook group, so you need to be on Facebook. If you put in Dental Hygienists with the apostrophe Alliance, you'll find the page. You must ask to join. We do limit it to only dental hygienists. There are a sneaky few that get through once in a while, but everybody is checked to make sure they are a hygienist. And then you're there, and then let's talk. It's for those issues about the profession that the hygienists are concerned about. There are many, many groups on Facebook, and it's great. There's places to ask questions about how to treat your patient with rampant caries, and there's questions about how to treat your patients with that 6-millimeter pocket that won't heal, or the guy that won't shut up, or the guy that snores. The Dental Hygienist Alliance is about our profession and the public. What do we need to do to allow, you know, and it's not even really save our profession, I should quit saying that. What do we need to do to allow our profession to work with the public to prevent disease? What do we need to do to accomplish that?
If there's a public person, a not dental hygienist, how can they support us, or what is it that they can do? Because I have kind of a mixed audience here.
Most important thing is they can ask their hygienist, questions about this, find out in their state what's going on. You can always Google dental hygiene legislation, put your state name in, see what's going on, what you can be supportive about. I know in Texas right now, the issue of local anesthetic is up. They need public support for that as well. Mm-hmm. Again, they're one of the, five or six states now that don't have local anesthetic. Yeah. And by the way, a hygienist has never killed a patient by giving local anesthesia.
No.
So that argument needs to go away. There you go. The internet is a great. I mean, I'm finishing an article this morning, and I write about the internet, as you know. The internet is a great thing, and the public, they can go out there and they can look and see what's going on in my state. Dental hygiene legislation, New Mexico. See what's going on. Ask your hygienist. You can also look up your state's Dental Hygiene Association. So for me, it's California Dental Hygienist Association. For you, it's Wisconsin Dental Hygiene Association. They can look those up, go on those pages, see what's up. What can they do to help? Call the numbers. I mean, get our associations active. And they're more than welcome to send a message to the Dental Hygiene Alliance page. We'll be happy to address it. I just, right now, the page is limited to hygienists. And you bring up a good point. There probably needs to be a collaborative group at some point. Let me graduate first. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
All right. That's the thing they can do.
Lori.
Be involved.
All right. Thank you so much, Lori. Have a great rest of the day, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Shirley. Great talking to you.
All righty. Bye.
And bye.
Okay. Let's get political about dental hygiene, and I think it's super duper high time. I'm not very political, but I've been getting more and more agitated over the years about this kind of thing, and I think we'll probably be bringing this up one or two more times over the next few months, because I think it's really important for the public to understand what a dental hygienist does and how we as dental hygienists enter into the healthcare, into your healthcare. So as always, pass this along if you found it helpful or interesting. And make sure to make a comment in the comment section, either on Stitcher or Blog Talk Radio or iTunes, and pass this along to your friends and colleagues, and we'll talk to you soon.
To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, Shirley@crosslinkradio.com.